There are two main themes or things that I think permeate the readings tonight. The second one is pretty obvious about faithfulness. But the first one is maybe not as clear. The first one is clarity in what we're asking the Lord to do in our lives. So clarity, getting clear on asking what the Lord, what we want. And two, being faithful. I know a couple who are empty nesters now. All of their kids have grown up and moved out, and all their kids are now married. And they came to me and were pretty upset recently because all of their children have left the Catholic Church and have started attending faith or denominations of the spouses to which they married. This was upsetting to this couple because they're very devoted to their parish. They're on committees and they give generously to the church and to other charities, to people in need. And none of their kids have carried on the Catholic faith. I'm not sure of the details on why exactly this hurts, but the more I've thought, it's been on my mind all week. The more I've thought about it, the more I could see where it could be really hard for them. Their kids come home for Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving or any holiday, and they don't go with their mom and dad to church on Sunday. And while they're sitting, while the parents are sitting there in church, they're looking around and seeing other people's kids who have come in, and they don't have their own. And they see their peers holding their grandchildren, trying to keep them quiet at Mass, and they don't get the pleasure of getting to do that, which really is a pleasure. Really, for grandparents, it is. And I could see where it would be tough, too, because now they're looking at all of their faith life, and they're saying, did we not do it right? Did we not set a good example? Does our faith look disingenuine to our own children? Why have they gone to find the Lord or to find God in something else? Like, did we not give them what we should? I can't imagine how hard this really is for them, and for maybe some of you out there who have gotten children or maybe siblings or someone who's kind of run away from something so precious to you, like your faith. But I think part of the blame is surely on us, the church, for not doing a better job. But I think part of the blame, too, is on those people who were supposed to be there for them. And I wonder if those parents said grace at every meal. I wonder if those parents talked about what they heard about on Sunday. I wonder if those parents made their kids come to Mass and sit up in the front and listen, and then ask them about the homily on the way home. Not that you guys have to do that tonight. I'll give you plenty of material, though. It'll be a long one. Just kidding. But I wonder really if we've done all we could. And I share that story because I think all of us want to ask the same question that the disciples, the apostles, asked Jesus tonight. They come to Jesus and they say what? Lord, increase our faith. If I asked for a show of hands of how many people in here would like their faith increased, I would hope I would see almost every hand. Not because I think you should want your faith increased, but I think because most of us do. Whether because we just want to grow or because we're going through something hard and we need God in our lives and we want to know His presence. So increase my faith, Lord. Or maybe because our faith is really good right now and we realize it could be even better. So yeah, increase my faith. But the problem is, not do we just want our faith increased, but do we do anything about it? Yeah, I want my faith increased. Help me. But do I spend any more time than 1 hour on Sunday or Saturday night for God? I want my faith increased. But do I ever open up the Bible beyond opening up a hymnal in church? I want my faith increased, but do I ever talk about my faith or ask my friend at school to pray for me or my coworker to share in this struggle I'm having? I want my faith increased, but do I do anything about it? That's where I think tonight's readings get very real for us. In the first reading, we hear the prophet Habakkuk crying out to the Lord, saying, violence. He asked the Lord, intervene, fix these things. Why do you let me see ruin around me? Why must I look at misery? These things that I don't want, that are not ideal, my kids not coming to Mass anymore, my kids drifting off, or maybe me being bored at church myself, high school kids out there, I get it. I was there when I was your age. We see these things that are before us, like the prophet. We see strife and clamorous discord. We see things we don't like. But do we cry out and ask the Lord to make a difference? When we're sitting there in our pews and we're bored, or it's not making sense to us, or when we go home and we recognize that something is not right in our lives or in the lives of our family, do we ask the Lord to fix that thing? Or do we simply say in Our Father, kind of a rote prayer, and hope that things get better? No, we shouldn't. Listen to the prophet. What happened to him? The Lord answered me and said, write down the vision clearly upon the tablets, so that one can read it readily. For the vision still has its time, presses on to fulfillment, and will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. The rash one has no integrity, but the just one, because of his faith, shall live. We need to focus like God is telling this prophet to focus. What's really going on in your life? Really? I mean, maybe it's a simple prayer saying, Lord, my loved one now has a chronic illness, and it just ticks me off. Help me to understand that you don't want what's bad for him or her. Be with them in their pain. Just take it away. That's writing the vision down clearly. Or maybe it's, Lord, I don't care about my faith. I don't. And I don't care that I don't care about my faith. Help me to want to care about going to Mass. Help my child to want to even be open to listening to me pray before a meal when he comes home, on a break from college, or from when he comes home from where he lives. We've got to get clear on the message. But getting clear on the message is not enough. We even hear it at the end of that passage of what the Lord says to the prophet. He says, the rash one has no integrity, but the just one, because of his faith, shall live. Now, I don't think that this faith that the just one has is simply like belief. I don't think that the Lord would just ask us to believe, because I think that's a cheap version of faith. If all we have to do is believe that something is going to happen, I believe that my loved one's cancer will be gone, and it's gone, then I think we miss out, because most of the time it's not. We live in a real world, a world that God entered into himself, to humanity and to problems that he came into. And he doesn't ask us to simply just believe and wish things to be gone or things to change or be better. The faith that the just one has, the just one because of his faith shall live, is not wishful thinking, but loyalty. It's action. The rash one has no integrity because he's acting rashly. The just one has faith because he's acting like a disciple, like he believes the Lord will work, who comes to church even when his loved one is sitting in a hospital room dying, because they know, he or she knows, you know, that if you're faithful, you'll understand what the Lord is doing in this. Not necessarily that all the bad things will be gone, but the Lord will be with you. The Lord will comfort the loved one, even if the healing doesn't necessarily come like we expect it to. The just one has faith, is loyal. And that's what Jesus talks about in the gospel. He says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll uproot a tree and have it replanted in the ocean. In another gospel, the kind of a similar passage, he says, you'll say to this mountain, move, and it'll be thrown into the ocean. You can tell that when people were recounting these stories of Christ as they were writing them into Scripture, they realized that what Jesus was talking about was not specifics. It was the action of faith, which is, I believe so much that I'm going to keep to what I'm supposed to do as your disciple, and great things will happen. But just so that we know it's not wishful thinking, Jesus says, he follows up this faith element with a story about a servant who comes in from a long day's work, and the master simply wants him to continue being a servant. Sounds kind of harsh. But the point here is not a harsh master. The point here is that a servant continues to do his duty, or her duty. That even if church is boring, or even if your family's not where you want it, or even if you're not where you want to be in your own faith life, be faithful. Continue. Work at it. And the Lord will reward you. He'll keep you close as one of his disciples. I shared that first story about the family, about the couple who's really struggling right now. And it reminded me, I'm getting to a point, and I'll close soon. It reminded me of a different family who I spent some time with a couple of summers ago as a seminarian before I got ordained. This family gathered every single night. Well, one time I went over to the house, and this is where I found this out. I come over for supper, and I stayed to play some, shoot some hoops with some of the kids and throw some frisbee. And at 8 o'clock, the mother stopped folding laundry, and the dad came outside and grabbed us and brought us in the house. Everyone stopped what they were doing. We shut off the TV. Everyone sat around the living room. They pulled out this binder from beside the TV, and that binder had a collection of a bunch of prayers and devotions and scripture passages that they had put in there. Papers that didn't match, papers that were falling out with different type fonts and tears in them. And they gave the binder to the 10-year-old and said, "It's your turn tonight. You lead." And so the 10-year-old flipped through the binder and found a prayer that they liked. And she led us all in a prayer. And it took 38 seconds, maybe. It was a real quick prayer. And then everybody went around and prayed for things they wanted to pray for real quickly. Said the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And everybody went back to their jobs, back to their fun. Before I left that night, I asked the couple, you know, what was that? And they said, well, that's our family prayer binder. Like, duh, like I should have known this. And they said, every night at 8 o'clock, no matter what we're doing, we stop, we get together in the living room, and a different member of our family prays a prayer. They lead us in prayer. And then we all go back to what we were doing before. I was astonished. How come every family doesn't do that? How come my family didn't do that? And they said that they build the binder every time they find something they like, anyone can add to it, anytime. And anyone can take out things that they put in there in the past that they don't like anymore. But every night they pray. That's a family who has a clear vision of what they want in their faith life, who's written it down clearly upon a tablet, upon a binder, to keep them together, and a family who is faithful, doing their duty so the Lord will be near them. Tonight, maybe it's a good chance for us to look at our life and really ask, what is it that I want from my faith? And as I'm pursuing that vision, how can I remain faithful to what the Lord asks of me, even if it's hard or mundane, so that this vision will press on to fulfillment? The just one, us, because of our faith, will live.